people who love them.
Hello, thanks for listening to The Thing About Cars. We are once again recording in Strongbox West in Atlanta, Georgia. Glad you could join us. With me at the table are our usual co-conspirators,
Becca,
Ben,
and our new friend,
Matt.
We're just going to sit here as usual and talk about cars. As always, please visit our Facebook page or find us online at thethingaboutcars.com and send us your suggestions and questions and whatnot. We will soon be asking our listeners to join us via Skype. We are playing with that option, and I think we are ready to go. We just got to do a couple dry runs on that. So if you're interested in joining us on the air, please send us a note, a personal message via Facebook would be ideal. In the meantime, I had to stop a conversation just a second ago because Becca and Ben were getting into it. We were talking about electric superchargers. Where were we?
Okay, well, my question was, Ben was saying he wanted to talk about electric superchargers, and frequently we've gotten into the conversations about electric cars, and what I was trying to tell him, I know he was trying to correct me that, no, not electric cars, electric superchargers, but
yeah,
because we talk so frequently about the hybrids and electric cars, and
right,
I have no
right.
base for comparison, I just want to be able to experience without purchasing an electric car, just to see the things that people talk about
yeah.
with the torque and things involved.
I
just can go by what everybody says. I've never driven one. I've never ridden in one. I don't know.
I drove one once, very briefly. I test drove a Chevy Volt about 4 or 5 years ago. Not that I was going to buy it, but just kind of for grins. I was car shopping, but it was beyond my budget. And it was interesting. The gasoline engine never came on. It was just a 4-mile test drive, and the guy said there was probably 16 miles of charge in it. It was quiet. It was creepily smooth. It's like, well, that was more suspension than the motor.
So wait. Where do electric superchargers come into this?
Right. Well, that was just kind of cross signaling the conversation. But the electric supercharger, we talked about those a little bit a couple episodes ago, and we probably should not have because none of us had read about them at the time. Myself especially. I've done a little homework since then. This, of course, is a forced induction device for a combustion engine. Just like old-fashioned superchargers, but in this case, it's driven by an electric motor.
Instead of part of the pulley system.
Right, because, of course, if you're running it off a belt, that's sucking a little power off your crank. Now, there's a little bit of mythology here. There's some people selling these things. They're saying, oh, electric supercharger, $80, you know, get 8 million extra horsepower, and they are trying to rip you off.
Yeah.
Because what they're selling you for $80 is basically a tube with a little fan in it. It's a little ducted fan. It's a real part, but it's not made for car engines. It's made to provide ventilation in boats. In your lower cabins, just get a little fresh air coming down there. But these guys are trying to sell them as superchargers, and yeah, it's a bit of a scam. But
the same guys that brought to you the Tornado, that it'll make your car super fast if you
yeah.
spin the air coming in.
Or the fuel line magnets, you know, all that good stuff.
And it's junk. The whole spinning of the air business is bad science. And
well, in this case, it's basically trying to, it's a little fan, so they're claiming it's forcing more air in.
Right.
But chances are your car's, you know, natural aspiration is going to suck air harder than that fan can blow it.
Exactly.
But there is the truth.
There's a joke in there. That's the look I'm
making. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Right. Yeah, we've all seen Spaceballs. But the mythology behind the truth behind the mythology is that there is something like this out there. Some of the high-end car companies are doing things like an electric-powered turbocharger, essentially. And the usefulness of that is that the electric motor can go from 0 to 70,000 RPM in about a third of a second. So, whereas, you know, an exhaust-driven turbocharger, no matter how good it is, there's going to be a small amount of lag, you know, a little delay between when it starts to work and when the effect comes on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the look on my face, going to electric turbocharger where it's
yeah.
not running off the exhaust.
Right. And so, you know, with its electric charger spinning up instantly, you know, you've got boost right away. Now, this is not just a bolt-on thing you can put on your Toyota, though, because there are kits out there. There's some electric, you know, lobe-type superchargers people are developing, but the thing is they require a lot of power. Your car's standard electrical system is not going to handle it.
You mean I can't stick one on the Mazda?
Probably not at this point. Well, I've seen under your Mazda's bonnet there's not room for it, but
we can make room.
Yeah, we will find a way. Creative guys like us.
If it's electric and not running off your exhaust, you know, hey, put it in the trunk, we'll route some tubes.
Something, yeah. Well, the ones these high-end cars use, they actually are powered by a supercapacitor.
Yes, I was wondering.
And yeah, because the thing, and they run on 48 volts, and the thing with a supercapacitor is that, well, with any kind of capacitor, really, is it can dump its charge right away.
Right.
It can take enough electricity to light up your town and go bam at once with it. So it'll spin that turbocharger up.
Think about the taser you can make with that thing.
Oh, geez.
Wait a minute.
Or wire that to the radio knob if you have a passenger who keeps changing their music.
There you go.
That's good.
There you go.
So cool. I still want to drive one. I still want to experience this. And
yeah.
I hear the numbers. I get how the mechanics are supposed to work. I still want to drive that.
Which one? Hadn't you talked about possibly a Tesla test drive? Or?
Well, you mean for us?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time.
Personally.
Yeah.
We should maybe each just try to see what we can test drive and come back and
right.
just say, here's our experience.
That sounds like a great, I don't really have any plans today anyway, so.
Let's go test drive some cars.
Let's not take it over a curb though, huh?
We'll see what the road tells me to do, you know?
So
I like that, feel the road.
So Matt, what do you do when you're not hanging out with us?
Oh, well, I will get into that, but I do have sort of a car-related question,
okay,
kind
cool.
of,
okay,
right? Like, with the whole self-driving cars coming in, right? I'm wondering about car insurance, right? Like, if all of a sudden, in the future, not maybe 5 or 10 years, but like, you know, maybe 20 years, if there's no more wrecks, what happens to that industry?
Well, as the licensed insurance agent sitting at the table. Actually, I'm not entirely sure. I'm not sure if any aspect of insurance has really addressed that. It's not mainstream yet. So it's a very good question. The owner would still be required to have insurance on the vehicle. Theoretically, let's say that these cars are perfect. They all communicate. There is no other vehicle on the road. There is nothing that is person driven or anything. Then it would probably just modify to be property, just like anything else. It still has exposures, like a tree can fall on it. It can burst into flames.
I think it's all going to turn into general liability.
No. I'm going the opposite direction. I'm saying it would go into property because your general liability is going to protect you when you harm somebody else. So if you run your car into him, that's when your liability is going to kick in.
But my self-driving car.
But if your self-driving car in this perfect world we're theorizing where nothing runs into anything else, your big concern is going to be acts of God, basically, where the trees come down in the storm, the fires, mudslides, tornadoes, things like that, and it would turn into a pure property type of coverage as opposed to driver did something wrong. But these cars would still need to be maintained, and if you didn't maintain your car properly and it caused an accident or damage, then that would still fall into liability because you neglected to take care of your vehicle.
Right.
So it might just modify it, but it's still a piece of property and an investment that you make, so you would still want to have it insured.
Sure.
Well, it's not going to be your self-driving car. It's going to be Google's car or Apple's car, and you'll be paying a subscription to use it, and one will come pick you up when you need it.
I like that. I think that is great foresight, especially when, like, Uber just bought that car company. So all those people who think they're making all this money driving for Uber, like, that's going to go away.
Yeah.
Because they didn't buy a self-driving car company to keep paying drivers, you know?
I know a lot of people, not just, you think this would be a millennial thing, but I know some Gen X people who think that owning a car is a real hassle.
Oh, yeah.
And they would gladly pay Google Mobile to come pick them up, you know,
well,
if they could.
It's like the privately owned version of public transportation. You don't have to buy a MARTA pass anymore. You just have to buy a Google
Now, there
pass.
Still
that
will.
That sounds great.
I think there still will be some privately owned ones because some people with money are going to want something special.
Yes.
I'm not saying I have money or anything, but maybe I'm old-fashioned. I kind of live in fear a little bit of cars as we know it going away. Yeah. That is my thing. That is my sanctuary. That's
Absolutely.
My happiness. If I cannot drive a car, if they take away our gasoline engines at some point.
Red Barchetta.
You might as well just go ahead and stick me in a padded room.
I've heard the story that's based on, by the way.
We need to talk about that in a second. I want to.
But you know, the other thing too, if it's a subscription car and not your own car, they're all going to be nasty. Because if individuals don't own them, they're going to treat them like crap. They're going to be dirty and filthy.
Some people treat their own cars
What if they're self-cleaning?
That way.
Maybe. Now, if they make
what,
the entire
like an oven?
Salt.
We're talking like 20 years in the future. I mean, have you seen what's come out in the last 20 years?
Yes.
I mean,
well, because, yeah, because here's the thing. You could design it with a completely plastic interior, and, of course, there'll be a maintenance station it'll have to return to periodically. And at the maintenance station, maybe they'll just hook up a hose and flush it out.
But there's all the goody-goody people that want their butts to ride in comfort. They're not going to want to sit on plastic.
That's a higher subscription. Sorry, that's a higher subscription, though.
That's where I was going to go in a second.
It's clean by people. It's detailed.
No. I'm picturing Rosie the robot. Jackson comes out and cleans the car.
Yes, I like it. You're right.
But I was going to go there in a second because there probably will be different service tiers. Yeah. You know, there's the basic that's got somebody's old McDonald's bag in it and smells like all these people.
No,
and
the tuna sandwich.
I think we're talking about several different things. I think we're talking about a car service that you subscribe to and you don't know which car is going to show up to your house. And then there's cars that aren't yours, technically yours, that are still licensed from the company, but it is your dedicated car. You have to.
Well, that's a possibility too.
To it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the third possibility, I think, is BMW, Tesla, whoever else is going to start issuing cars that merely plug into the self-driving grid.
That's a possibility as well.
And so it's still your Beamer. You can still turn off the self-driving option and put your foot in it when you want to. Which would be very nice, but I think that just makes, that's the next logical step to me. Right?
There's a thing Ferrari's doing right now. Of course, it doesn't drive itself, and that's kind of the whole point. But Ferrari has a thing where they've got a car you can buy. It is extra special. You've got to be the very top tier Ferrari customers to even have this be an option for you to do. You own the car, but the only time you touch the car is when you drive it. It's not street legal. They'll take it to all these different Grand Prix tracks around Europe. You show up. The car's ready for you. Their mechanics have all breathed their holy air on it. You know, Ferrari is kind of the Catholic Church of automobiles, but that's a whole other discussion. But
the reason why I'm not Catholic.
But Ferrari maintains it. They prep it. They do everything. You arrive at the track, and it's ready.
Where is the getting the grease all over you?
If you're a lazy millionaire, then, you know.
See, that's the lifestyle I want. Yeah. Like, I want, like, I really don't want to go to the grocery store, but what I want is to be able to ride in my self-driving car to the grocery store, get out, have them already have my groceries waiting there, load them into the car.
Yeah.
Then I go get a pedicure while the car drives the groceries back home where she, like, unloads them. And then it comes back and gets me. And then I take a nap on the way to work after I just got a pedicure.
You know, like. Wait, no. You don't need gas pedals or foot pedals. There's manicure down there for you now.
Ooh.
The car is giving you a pedicure.
Well, so does this mean that the one in Asia is going to have the tanker for fishing?
Okay, well, obviously, I'm a different kind of person than you, and I'm laughing over the man wanting the pedicure and not wanting to work on the car. Where I'm the girl that's like, I've never had a pedicure in my life. I want the grease all over me. If I were to have $100 million, I would spend the money on a giant garage with lift bays and
a lot
of tools and get the grease on me. Yeah.
Well, speaking of manicures, I do actually use a special product on my fingers and nails.
Goodness.
Hang on before it gets gross, before you guys go down the gross road.
The special product
I use on my fingers, it's a carefully cultivated mixture of grease, penetrating oil, the dust that comes from scraping rust off of old parts.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff soaks into my fingernails, you know? Yeah. You can't see it now because I washed them, but.
Okay, I'm the man here today. You realize that. So where were we?
Okay,
electric cars and all that.
Yeah, and no grease under the fingernails.
No grease under the fingernails.
I enjoy.
You said you were the man among us.
I am. I'm the man right now. Y'all are all talking about your mani pedis and.
Well, mine involve car grease.
Well, this is true. You get a couple man points.
Mine involve getting massaged.
Well, my favorite massage is the one you get, from the seat of your car as you take the left and the right and the left and the right.
It reminds me, I need to go in and do the leather conditioner on my seats before they split.
Yes, I do as well.
Yeah.
One thing I want to try out, I'm going to start doing this in a leather seat in my house first. I have some shoe conditioner from Doc Martens, and it's the leather conditioner. So I'm going to try it out on this chair. I got it secondhand and it's cracked. But if it does good work, also I want to try out it's one of the big DIYs going on right now, olive oil for conditioning your leather.
I wondered about that. Wouldn't it smell funny when you're done?
I guess it depends on what olive oil you use.
Yeah, well, another great product, too, that I've got a lot of experience with is called Leatherique, which is pretty much as it sounds, leather, I-Q-U-E. This is the stuff that all the car restorers use. It's water-based, and one of the points they make is that, you know, skin in nature, yeah, oil secretes on the surface, but skin doesn't really contain oil on the inside, so they don't use any oil in this product. It feels very oily. In fact, they used to label it as rejuvenating oil just because people thought it was. And they've since dropped that from the name. It's a little bit pricey. I think I've got a bottle that big. A quart bottle plus a quart bottle of their cleaning solution. Two of those for, I think, about $60 a few years ago.
I know what you're
and
talking
this
about.
Is why I want to try the DIY
stuff. It goes a long way. You don't need very much.
But is it
really good stuff?
Is it water-based on the premise that it's going to absorb more easily then? Since we're talking about skin and...
Well, partly that and partly because water in skin is natural.
So why not go so far as to experiment with combinations of aloe vera?
I'm not saying don't do it at all. By all means, experiment, but experiment carefully on something that, you know...
Water by itself, however, dries out human skin.
Right, right. And this is not just water. I mean, it feels slippery. Yeah. It's a funny colored fluid with a funny smell, and you put it on your seats, and they say, actually... Put it all over the seats or anything leather in the car, then park it in the sun.
I've heard that too. Yeah.
And
that's exactly what I'm doing.
Which is contradictory to most things. Don't leave it out in the sun.
Well, there's the UV factor, but they're talking about the heat. The heat will get it into the leather.
It opens up the leather a bit.
Yeah, park it in a warm chamber.
So Lexol, that stuff that you can buy in any auto parts.
It's pretty decent.
Lexol is pretty decent. I'm just going to use that and call it a day.
It's a little more of a cleaner, but it'll work.
Yeah.
Well, Cleaners, Mothers has the vinyl and leather cleaner. Best stuff on the planet. I haven't found a DIY or anything that surpasses the cleaning of it. And people have thought I was kidding. And you get into the cars that have men and they've put their arms all over the textured armrest and it's forever changed colors. And I've gotten in there with this Mother stuff and it's brand new.
So do we know anyone at Mothers who could, you know, we could possibly contact about sponsorship. Maybe they can send us a box of this.
Another shameless plug. Another sorry.
They
yes.
should because yes. I'm...
We'll put Mothers on the list.
Right. I'm particularly fond of their Back to Black products.
Very much so, yes.
See, I've always been a Meguiar's fan myself, but
well, I'll use whatever.
Don't get me wrong. I love Meguiar's, yes.
The feud of Meguiar's versus... Is there a feud? Are we making that up? I mean...
Maybe you're making it up.
There's a marketing feud anyway.
Because they have similar names?
Because they have similar names. They sell the same products. They sell the same... I think they have the same... customer base. The other thing that I've heard of that I use on my indoor furniture is leather honey.
Huh.
And it's a pure conditioner. That stuff is thick.
Oh, yeah.
It's like extremely thick. You kind
of want a lot of elbow grease to get
it. A ton of it. You want to actually heat it up in a double boiler before you start using it just to thin it out.
Mm.
And it worked really well on my leather sofa.
Nice.
Man, we've come a long way from electric superchargers on this one.
That's
yeah,
okay.
I think we strayed a little bit. I blame Mike. Matt. You're not Mike, you're Matt.
Hey, how did the giveaway with the Mustang room go? Nobody yet?
Oh, I had likes, but nobody came along. It was a little disappointing, but you know, maybe our good friend Charlie.
I will definitely take a Mustang. If you're giving it away.
Well, no, it's a die cast. It's the, 164th? I'm terrible with the sizes, but it's a 1968 Bullitt die cast Mustang. And all they had to do was listen to episode one and answer my trivia question.
Oh, I think I can do that.
Because my hobby, my side project, got a shameless plug on that episode.
And I know the answer, but being a lackey of the Think About Cars corporate empire makes me ineligible to win. So
I don't know. Would you like to win a Bullitt Mustang?
I think it would be cool.
It's a very cool little car, really. I'm trying to cut down on the amount of stuff in my place, but it is very cool.
I always have room for stuff. I clear it out all the time.
If you want to clear out stuff, clear out your clothes, clear out your pans. If you've got too much stuff in the kitchen, okay. But the car collectibles need to stay. There needs to be more. And see, he doesn't know. Sorry, I'm pointing
at
Matt / Charlie here. He doesn't know what I'm talking about.
You have to get rid of the pots and pans that you cook food in order to make room for car collectibles? Is that what you're saying?
Okay, see, this is where you need to know me that I don't... I'm not a really big cooking person, but I love cars. So, yes, any day I would throw out cooking stuff to make room for car stuff. Definitely.
As evidenced by my waistline, then.
Well, maybe that's my problem. I need to do more cooking.
For those who can't see this, Becca's about as big around as Mickey's forearm.
Right.
So anyways, we've distracted ourselves though. Where were we?
We're distracting ourselves. What else do we want to talk about today? What have we talked about? Let's recap. We've talked about
electric cars,
mani-pedis, electric superchargers, leather.
I have my own masseuse that I see because I cannot trust these places she suggests that I go.
So what's this about you running out of gas the other day?
Oh yeah. So yesterday I was pretty busy as I usually am, and I was just talking on the phone with someone who I'm close with, and time got away from me, and eventually I ran out of gas. So what I did was.
So you were talking on the phone while you were driving down the road?
No. I was just sitting in the car, charging my phones and my watch.
A very serious question here.
Yes.
Does the gas gauge not work?
It definitely works. I actually got a parking ticket, which is also car related. So to make sure that I pay it, I put it like in front of all the instrument readings. So I didn't see the gas.
Right.
So your car is newer, though. It should also have one of those lights that comes on and says, low fuel.
It was a ticket. They're a literal ticket for a parking ticket sitting in front of all of those indicators. It's still there if you want to see it.
That would do it.
Yeah.
That would do it.
I folded it, though, so I could see the gas now. But the parking ticket was amazing. It's only like $40 or something tops, but I looked so cool when I parked there, right? It was so impressive.
Man, that is so cheap. What jurisdiction was it?
It was Cumberland Mall.
Okay, I will make sure to go there whenever I need a good cheap parking ticket.
So it's similar to your parking job outside.
Exactly.
Which is, by the way, how we met our friend here, by looking strangely at his car parked on the sidewalk.
Literally, just today.
He pulled his Camry up onto a sidewalk and parked there, blocking the stairs, you know, up to the higher sidewalk.
And I'm looking at him as I'm walking in.
I do it every weekend. I don't do it during, like, you know, Monday through Friday office hours.
Isn't that when you should be using it? It's busy out there now, I would
imagine.
That's
when I park at the shade down by the trees.
Yes.
Like I just pull off into the grass.
Oh. There you go. I'm actually in a spot, but I'm down in the shade by the trees.
Awesome. Yeah. But it was front runner spot at the mall, and I had a girl with me, you know, and I just pull right up onto the grass and then get out. It was awesome. So it was worth it.
You are an interesting person.
So I ran out of gas is the story, and I used Postmates to deliver 2 gallons of gas and a gas can to me.
Yep.
It cost $30. I filled up, and then I was on my way again.
2 gallons of gas for $30.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Can they get you on the
but way? The convenience, I mean, I was on the phone with roadside assistance the entire time. I had just gotten to a second person and they wanted me to re-verify my identity.
Are you serious?
When the gas showed up. And I'm just like, whatever. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
So this service could conceivably do away with roadside assistance.
I think someone should come out with their own service just for gas.
Except for that, because the large number of men that I've seen that don't know how to change a tire anymore. So I don't think that people delivering stuff will change a tire for you.
No, that's true. But I'm thinking if all you need is gas and you know it, if all you need is a battery jump and you know it.
An app-driven roadside assistant.
Which does exist. I mean, the insurance companies are not pushing those.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but
all AAA needs is an app.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've got the Premier Plus AAA. I mean, if you get 4 toes in a year, that thing pays for itself.
Right.
If you get 1 toe, it could pay for itself.
And in the spirit of good shameless plugs, AAA, if you're listening to this, I know how to get these things done. Give me a call.
I also think AAA is amazing.
Yeah.
All right, I'm putting down AAA for shameless plugs.
I had them tow a exotic car back to the Atlanta suburbs from the top of Brasstown Bald one time. For those who don't know, Brasstown Bald is the highest point in Georgia. It's up in the mountains. It's in the country. It's a hilltop with a parking lot because they have a park up there.
Why did you have to have it towed?
It got up there. I parked it, hiked around a little
bit.
And
it's the highest point in Georgia. All you got to do is stick it in neutral and let it coast all the way down.
There you go.
The problem is there's a lot more up and down on the way home from there.
I see. Nooks and crannies.
Yeah. Knock on wood.
Oh, but the coast down would have been really fun.
Yeah.
The coast down would have been great fun because that road winds along and yeah. Oh, it would have been. It would have been a total kick.
No more brakes, but hey.
Yeah. I just hope you don't have to hit the gas for some reason.
Well, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us. It's been an excellent episode sitting here in Strongbox West recording for you guys. We definitely want to hear from you on our Facebook page or find us at the Thing About Cars and hit us with a personal message. As I said before, we were thinking about doing the Skype thing, so if you could join us for that, please send us a note, and we look forward to talking with you soon. Thanks a bunch.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.